This is a most interesting gospel with a very surprising twist that Jesus uses. In that culture, no one would have believed that it was the tax collector that went home justified and not the religious professional sitting in the front pew. He's, no offense to the front pew here today. But the star is in the back pew beating, yeah, there's somebody back there beating their breast. Have mercy on me, a sinner. This gospel, you know, because I went to that airline reunion last month, and renewed a lot of old stories that I'd forgotten about with my old friends and stuff there. I've been in this position. The thing about this Pharisee is that he's got all the answers. You see, he was doing the right things. He's tithing, he's fasting, he's praying at certain times. The Pharisee's supposed to go in and you know, the Pharisees had a big role to play, and they did a lot for Judaism. The Greeks had come in 200 years earlier, virtually destroyed their culture and their religion, and the Pharisees rose up to lead the people back to God. So they'd take their position in the front to be noticed so that people would follow their example. This is why they originally did it. This Pharisee, he's talking to God. He's talking to himself. God doesn't have any place here. Oh, Lord, look how good I am. I'm doing everything right. But he doesn't know himself. The issue with him is that he is arrogant. He has no needs. He has all the answers. I've done many things in my life before I was a priest, but I usually end up talking about the lost luggage department. I was talking with some of the people I used to work with, and I said, why is it that was so helpful in ministry? He said, well, one of my friends said to me, you know, we learned an awful lot about human nature when we did this. I said, yeah, you know, that's what it was. And you get these people, I have to open your eyes here a little bit, when you have an inconvenience that you are truly aggrieved by something, the government or a company or a person, how we react to that, a genuine injustice of some kind, when we're really inconvenienced and we really wasn't our fault, this says a lot about who we are and how we've grown in the spiritual life. That's the test, you know. So you get these people would come in, and the ones that would give the most trouble were generally the prominent individuals, whether stars or politicians, people of influence, people with lots of money. You could tell that by the address. And they would not be very agreeable. They had all the answers. You're going to listen to me. You know, I'm important. I need this. Look what you've done. What are you going to do? Yelling and screaming and being very mean. Nothing you can do is satisfying to them. They don't get much help. We listen. We're professional. And that's it. Then you get the kind that are kind. You know, they're aggrieved, of course. You bend over backwards to help them. And the Lord sees this. He sees humility as what pleases him. Of course he wants us to do all these things for him. Of course we're trying to please him. But it's our humility that opens the door for God and nothing else. I had the ability when I worked in that particular department. And when I worked in that department, this is going back, almost 30 years, but in those days, I had the authority right on the spot to comp somebody up to $10,000. They didn't know it. What kind of person do you think got comped? The one that was in my face telling me how important they were? You know what? They didn't have any power. That's a symbol that they had no power. I was holding all the cards. I'm going to help you. I'm the one that's going to help you. I'm going to comp you. I remember once we had, we lost somebody's artificial leg. They weren't wearing it. My first question was, why weren't you wearing this leg? It was a $10,000 appliance. They're probably about $25,000 now. And I got him on the phone, and I said, I'm sorry to tell you, it was only insured for $1,250. Oh, I got a reaction. But, you know, he was nice, and he got comped for that. But we didn't have to do it. And God doesn't have to answer our prayers But he's really attracted by humility. The story with this leg was kind of funny, too. As we were looking for it, I kept the record handy because I was helping look for this. And they were, you'd get comments in the baggage record like, hey, Phoenix, see if you can find this one standing around somewhere. Or, do you think it may have walked off on its own? Anyway, we never did find that leg. I don't know where it went because nobody else could use it. But with God, you know, we all come before God. I think the issue with this Pharisee, the problem is there's a little bit of both of these in all of us. There are times when we're in the back beating our breast, oh God, be merciful to me. And there's other times we think we have all the answers. Oh God, look how good I am. And occasionally God he withdraws his support a little to remind us that even our victories were the result of God's grace. That's why you'll find after a long victory, you might fall into some sin again. And we have to go back sometimes to reconciliation, to ask God's forgiveness. Other times we spend our whole lives struggling with one kind of sin or the other. It's almost as if God permits that because it's good for our humility. The Pharisee did not know himself very well. He didn't know what he needed. Yes, he was living a better life than the tax collector who worked for the occupying Romans, who probably extorted money from people. That's how they made a living. Who worked with money with a false god on it. You couldn't get less Jewish if you tried. But he went home justified because with all of those faults, and some of us have a lot of them, God is attracted by our faults. That's why he came and died for us. The people that crucified him were the ones that thought they had all the answers. We don't need you. But the ones that need him were at the foot of the cross and were with him to the end. They're the ones that appeared to him, that he appeared to at the resurrection of the dead. Our world, in many ways, is like that Pharisee who think we have all the answers. We don't need you, God, anymore. And an interesting little thing I read a couple days ago somewhere online, I think, that the Air Force has now made it optional to say, so help me God. Somebody complained they don't want God, and the person that filed that successful lawsuit said, our goal is to get rid of him completely. They want to impose their will on everyone. Of course, that's not going to happen, we hope. But how many people say, God, I don't need you anymore. We've got it all figured out. We figured out how gravity works, so suddenly God isn't needed anymore. You know, I've got all the answers in my life. So suddenly we find we don't have the answers. And these are moments of grace. The man in the back, this is why the church has us saying, through my fault, through my fault. It really goes back to this reading. It's that the only position before God is one of humility. I mean, he's the one that gave us our life. He gives us our home, our family. You know, we're putting up a church here. We're not doing that. God is doing that for us. Yeah, we're making the sacrifices, but everything is a gift from God. We can't tell people how good you are, how good we are. Instead, how good you are, God, and God is attracted to this. So, you know, just like when I was in this position of authority almost 30 years ago, God, too, watches our response to trials. You know, God is attracted by the neediness in our lives. That's like an open door, and God can't wait to come in and help us and heal us. The only door God cannot go through, or will not go through, I should say, is a closed door in which we tell God to stay out. Or, I've got my act together. Thanks for the offer, Lord. I'm doing okay on my own. Most of us wouldn't say that, but at times we do say that. We act in our lives. It's kind of like the one thing that this Pharisee did was he compared himself to others. If I want to, I can always find someone who isn't living the way I am and say, well, thank God I'm not like that. I may not love you very much, but at least I'm not sleeping around. Or, yes, I know I always go to Mass. I always leave after communion, but at least I'm here. I'm comparing myself to somebody who doesn't come to church. God doesn't do it that way. He says, you have all the gifts, all the graces. I expect more from you. When we compare ourselves to others, God is never there. God doesn't do that. We have no idea what graces or the lack of graces that tax collector has. But I knew how many I have. So this is this parable is one that is very comforting to all of us who have faults and needs. God is always there for us. Sometimes we find ourselves in the front looking back, and God gently reminds us, sometimes with a fall, that He is the one that saves us. He heals us. And so we say with the guy in the back, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner."